I'm very happy to have you here on our show, Jérôme and Séverine, from the Belgian pop group Pornography Exclusive, also filmmakers, musicians, composers, and a lot of other things that you are doing. We're talking about this right now. So this is like the second time that both of you have been here at the festival. You've been here last year. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the Film Fest Oldenburg. How do you like it this time, and what do you think of the festival in more general terms?
Well, this is wild, you know. It was so exciting to create something new for the festival, because it's a really important festival for us. Because last year we won the Audacity Award with the Belgian Wave, and this year it made total sense to create something totally new for the festival. So
we thought it's the only festival in the world where we can have a world premiere that the boss didn't see before. Torsten was the producer of this project with us and with Debra. They trusted us like blindly, and we were in this big theater, and I think they are the only people in the world who can have the courage to support people like us.
We are talking about your work on One Way Ticket to the Other Side, which had its premiere here at the festival, which is a kind of hybrid thing of music and films, which is nothing really very new for you, Jérôme, because all three times you had movies here playing in Oldenburg, you also always brought some sort of music to the festival. Like when you were here the first time with Spit and Split, you brought another group along.
Yes.
So that was, there's always this connection in your work between music and film.
Yes, absolutely. I never wanted to choose between music and cinema. And I think everything is connected, and my way to say things or to tell stories goes through music and cinema. And so it made total sense to bring the Experimental Tropic Blues Band in 2017. And last year with my other band, VHS From Space, here it makes total sense. And it's always connecting. And it was super important to do something with Séverine and to connect everything, because our whole lives just, you know, go
around. I mean, we work together, we live together, we have so many projects together. And so when we made our band, we connected like with cinema too. And but it was not the purpose. At first, we had a dream to connect our debut album to an anthology of short films. But it was like a dream 3 years ago. And somehow it happened.
You both had your own careers before as musicians, and in your case as an actress, you were also dubbing films, but you also had musical projects. The first one was Orin, which was like 15 years ago or so, and the last one is called Valko.
Exactly.
This kind of game is the EP that's also out there. So you're going a long way back in producing your own music. So can you tell us a little bit about your own music and what changed or what was expanded when you met Jérôme?
I started music really early in my life. Like at 6 years old, I started classical music. So I'm classical trained with the cello. I had like a very normal, traditional cello lessons, and I was playing in orchestra and stuff like this. Then I started to compose my own songs with the piano in the house. And I think Orin was my teenager version of myself. Then I changed it to Valko because I felt I needed to change my skin somehow, like a snake. Oh, I'm not a snake, but you know, like to change, because I was feeling the change and I needed to evolve. But somehow a part of me was missing in my music. Like I felt I had more energy, more rock and roll feelings that I was not able to show, to present in my own music, because I was kind of stuck in this nice, kind princess type of woman. I felt I was more rock and roll. And when I met Jérôme and when we started to do music together, I really felt that this was the missing part of my life in my music journey. I always felt that something was missing. I had really beautiful concerts in my solo career, but I really felt that with Jerome, it was like making sense and like everything was coming together to really enjoy totally the music, like bringing classical, but also rock and roll and powerful. And so now I think I feel more complete with Jerome.
Jerome, you started your own band VHS from Space even before you did your first film, I guess. So you were a musician before that. This band goes a long way back to 2014, but it's a different kind of style from what you're doing now. VHS from Space obviously is more like an industrial electro-punk outfit. Mm-hmm. And you played last year here together because you were already in the band, Severin, you singing backing vocals and playing also a role in the movie that accompanied the concert last year. But tell us a little bit about VHS from Space, Jerome. What was the kind of inspiration for doing this kind of music, which certainly goes back to VHS horror genre movies and the sound and the vibe of that?
It's just the love of MTVs of the 90s, you know, and I just wanted to feel this sensation again of watching all those cool rock stars, you know, doing crazy stuff, you know, like Nirvana, Rob Zombie, anyway, and so Babylon Zoo. And I just wanted to make my own rock band, but I, you know, everything is connected. I never wanted to just do music and not just do cinema, you know, everything is musical, and I always grew up with music, and so it's a DIY lifestyle, you know, and so it's like I don't want to wait people to tell me that I can do something. I just want to do the things, you know, and so yeah, VHS from Space started in an attic, you know, and after that, yeah, we made this thing grow up, and it's just the encounter with Severin that gave me the envy to explore something that I really wanted deeply to say, to express, but I didn't know how to express it, you know, and actually I think I needed love to be able to have courage to express it, because it's a part of me that is not, it's, well, in a way this project is punk also, but I allow myself to be more not sensitive in a cheesy way, you know, but more I listen more my feelings, my real feelings. I'm not just here to punch people in the face and to say, yeah, we are big guys, you know. It's like more, it's a journey, it's an intern journey, and I think we both needed to express it now, you know.
Yeah, I think probably before we were more like, he's a man, I'm a woman, he's doing man music, I'm doing more women music. And when we met, it's like, I want to be more like a man sometimes, like, you know, and he wanted to be more like connected to the emotions. And so we both found the missing part, like I was too much in the emotion and he was too much maybe in the heavy, mm-hmm. expressing heavy things. When we met, it was like an harmony, like more balanced, like it's cliche, but it was like the yin and the yang, like mixing, and like, oh, now it's a harmony, now it's more balanced.
It was obvious to make a movie around this, you know, because life is a film, life is a soundtrack, you know, and it was important to bring that project to life with something like that, but to be able to surprise ourselves as well, you know. We never planned to make Pornography Exclusive. It was just, you know, the envy of doing something, and if one melody pleased the other, it's the whole goal, you know. And when we saw that we had 2, 3, 4, and then an album, we were like, okay, let's do a real band and let's play for real, you know.
You talked about romance and you talked about love, and it is indeed a very romantic kind of music in the sense of the origin of the word romantic, like the German word romantic, which also is always kind of melancholic and dark feeling, if you're looking at this. And I think that's what Pornography Exclusive is also about. You already named your musical inspirations in the song. You were singing about bands like the Sisters of Mercy, Depeche Mode, The Cure, or even The Soft Moon, mm-hmm. with Luis Vazquez, yeah. who just died at the beginning of this year, tragically.
We know.
So this is, of course, the musical inspiration for this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about the kind of gothic dark wave pop that inspired you to make Pornography Exclusive.
I think it's a little bit more than just that, because the real starting point of our inspiration was movie soundtracks. For us, it was like, okay, we love Lost Highway soundtrack, which brings a lot of dark industrial or and it was more the already a soundtrack feeling in common. And Jerome introduced me to some dark cold wave. I didn't really know, but I really felt a connection. I was learning so much with this band. Like, I fell in love with Nine Inch Nails songs thanks to him, but I knew them from the Lost Highway. Well, it was...
Well, Lost Highway is a great soundtrack and a good example, because it's so free, you know, and crazy and masterful. And it's just that, it's the conquest of freedom, you know. And so for now, our music is really cold wave, industrial, goth, or something like that. But we don't want to be just stuck into one genre, you know. And obviously, we are two melancholical persons, and so it's the kind of thing that needs to be out of us, you know, in a way. It's a journey, so we never know where we'll be in 6 months, you know.
No, so maybe we're gonna make like an acoustic album one day, or we have no. We don't put limits on what we're gonna do, but for sure, yeah, we can connect to the goth dark scene, but at the same time, we don't belong to one scene, because we really search for the open mind spirit. Otherwise, I think we would not have done this anthology, One Way Ticket to the Other Side,
mm-hmm.
if we were like more closed mind, because none of the movies are really gothic, or, you know, so that would have been like, oh, this is not the visuals we have for a dark wave, you know, all should be in black and sad and, you know, and
yeah.
And so I think it's because we kept our minds open that we could be able to create this colorful project, because it's lots of colors, this One Way Ticket to the Other Side.
And in that sense, that's why we have a tribute to John Zorn in one of our songs that's called Invitation to a Suicide. And John Zorn doesn't have to do with gothic music and so on, but we just want to pay tribute to him. He's from free jazz and so on. And so we actually sent him the song, and he gave us his blessing, and it was really cool, because it's totally different styles, but it shows that we don't only want to belong to the gothic industrial scene, you know. It's
more
way further than that. Yeah,
it's interesting that you mentioned John Zorn, because he always has a connection to cinema as well.
Mm-hmm.
Playing music of Ennio Morricone, for example,
yeah.
Or I even saw him live playing a live version or an interpretation of the music from Dr. Caligari in Berlin. So there's always a connection with people who are open-minded and going for different ways of presenting film music, or even presenting films. A lot of your music is also sort of with an instrumental vibe, which could also be for film scores. And even the song titles could be titles of movies, if, mm-hmm. if you like, if you see that. So there's an obvious connection. But this time you didn't have it in your own hands to visualize to the music, because you gave it to other directors,
mm-hmm.
Like people like Buddy Giovinazzo, who made a film to the track Invitation to Suicide,
yeah.
Which is quite fitting, because his movie Combat Shock also has elements of that.
Yeah.
So sometimes it really works very well. What did you think about, okay, we have this music, but they have to provide the visuals, so it's not your movie, but it's their vision to your music?
In a way, because we directed the intro, interlude, outro, so we kind of had, not the control, I don't like this word, but like
the concept,
we knew where we wanted to go with it. But of course, there is letting go process, you know. And so it's super exciting to call those directors and to see what they see through our music, you know.
And it was not just like, oh, you do something and then we meet in Oldenburg. We were in contact, we talked. Sometimes we change some details together. It was okay, it was kind of a total freedom dogma, but also we were taking care of keeping something in the same boat. Otherwise, it could be just like...
Random,
and we didn't control, but we were the producer and the creators, and we had a final object that we wanted to provide. It was a balance to find between giving a way or an orientation and also letting go, because it's not our films, it's a common project. So it was really particular journey for us also.
Mm. What I liked about the movies is that sometimes they are really like in tune with what you are doing, obviously, because Buddy Giovinazzo, he told me that when he was shooting the sequences in Berlin in his short film, he was like playing the music on his smartphone. Yeah. So the actor could hear his music and they could shoot the scenes with the soundtrack on already. Mm-hmm. Or if you look at the clip from Patricia Planik and Andreas Horvath, it's like it looks like she is singing the song. So there are obviously people who are directly in touch with you and what kind of film they were trying to present.
Yeah, and for instance, Douglas Buck really dive into Electric Blue, you know, he just listened to it 1,000 times, you know, and he was so possessed with this music. And so it's great to see this obsession growing up, you know?
Yeah, because they all had a particular story with their song. So that's what they call it, like, it's my song now.
And the same for Edgar Perra. You know, we knew we wanted the biggest final because Edgar is
crazy,
so crazy, and we love him for that. And so it was like, Edgar, you have to make our final just outstanding, you know. And they all took it by heart, you know, and that's what's so beautiful in this project.
We made a band also.
Yeah.
We made like a rock band
and
together.
We wanted to cut the middleman in a production, in the way of making films. It was just Thorsten, Deborah, us, and then all the directors, you know. It's so important to not just stay in a comfort zone, you know. It's important to be aware of what people are doing around you and just to feel it, and it's it just feeds us a lot, you know. And so that's what makes this project so interesting for us.
The album will come out a little bit later officially, so if people approach the album from Pornography Exclusive and the film project, is it possible to separate both? Can people only enjoy the record, or is it intervened with the film project?
I think because the record was there before, I think it's a total traditional record. Like, we made this album and it was mixed, finished, everything was done. And 6 months later, we had this idea of, because it started with, oh, maybe one video clip with Douglas Buck, who was the first one. Then, oh, Edgar Perra, we would like to have also, because we met them here. And then another one. And then it just, at first, it's only a normal album. So for the part of the music, you can totally enjoy just the music. We also created some additional songs for the anthology that we're going to release later. The other way around, I'm still not quite sure if the result will be the same, like watching the movie without the live show, like as a normal movie, because it was not made like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice to watch it without the live show, but we really think the real purpose of this story is to play both at the same time. That's the experience we want to offer. That's the thing.
Yeah. It was always good surprises, you know, when we receive the film of Guillaume Campanacci, for instance. You know, it's we had a conversation with the mixer of the DCP on Monday, and he was like, yeah, the first one, A Party in Tears, looks like VJing, but in a moment you understand that this is a real story, you know, like hidden, some kind of a hidden story behind those images. And we love this segment also very much because there is so much vulnerability in this one, and Guillaume totally understand what we were making with this project, you know, and it's so cool to be always surprised by their story, their feelings. We didn't knew that A Party in Tears for him would make him feel violent, for instance, you know. For us it was totally romantic, as you said, but in the pure romanticism it's violent, there is suicide, there is everything,
murder,
passion. And so that's it. We're very proud of this project. Yeah,
we had the world premiere here with your live music on stage at the Staatstheater in Oldenburg, which is really a very fitting room to play all this music and all those images, which was something special, I guess. But what are the next steps for this project? Will you go on try to pull it to other theaters maybe and showing the film and playing live music? So what's the idea for this project to bring it to life over the next month?
First of all, the idea is to bring the movie in every city where every director lives, you know?
Yeah, that's the dream, to show this in the cities of each director. And the first target are film festival for us, to bring something new in a traditional film festival. We will try to make a tour with this project in film festival. So
yeah,
we're going to try to make as much
as possible. Yeah.
But we want each time to be an event. I think it demands a certain attention, and it's different than just playing a rock concert and people having beers and talking. It's something you need to listen and to watch kind of in silence. Not totally, but you know, it demands a little bit more to the audience.
It's more like a cinematic experience. People are in a dark room and they are listening and they're looking at what goes on. So this is maybe a project that will take a while. Other than that, have you any ideas of going beyond this project, maybe putting out new music or making more films? Or is it just like we have this now and this is what we are doing for the next months?
Maybe it will evolve. But
For sure, we're going to tour with this. We might do traditional concerts also, without the movie, only the songs, because we can do that too. We can play without the anthology. But at the moment, this is the real thing. This is what we have to propose, which is different from a traditional concert. But we have already a new album on the way. I mean, it's we have so many songs, and maybe we're going to make a second anthology. We don't know. We're going to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Because we are super open to follow what is happening.
Thank you very much for taking your time to talk about your music and your art and your movies.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation. Yeah.